Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, sir. How are you? Everything's fine. Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Max Kellerman.
Hello,
J. Williams.
Hello, Max. How are you?
What? What is this?
I don't know what voice that is.
What? What?
You doing Max Kermit Kellerman, the Frog? How are you today?
I get into that mode when I do the Sports Center reads. Yeah, into how are you today?
Key does it too in all the reads. We all do it to a degree.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't do it. On
Key
the
does a lot
I
of.
I just go. I try
a lot,
and
a lot of hand gesticulation there. Like,
yeah, I try to clean up my
Keyshawn Johnson
diction to a degree,
and you know. You emphasize certain words.
Yes,
that you wouldn't normally emphasize.
Yes, that is correct. I were really quick though before we move on to Coach Kerr. Will you have dogs?
Not how many dogs?
If you had dogs.
No.
Have you? Oh,
no.
You never had dogs?
Yeah.
You're not like a animal.
Here's the problem.
Friendly?
I grew up in New York City.
Yeah, so it's
I live in New York City. If you get a dog, you are now
you
in the
commit.
Poop collecting business.
Yeah, so the reason the reason I asked is because I was happening to be looking through my phone in one of these things, social media things, something popped up where a dog was literally licking a baby's face and licking all that's so
what?
Gross. And Jay said, "Oh, that's so cute." I'm like, Jay,
you know where a dog's
that's the problem
goes?
With you.
Well, until I recognized that the baby was like 6 weeks old,
that's so gross.
I thought it was a baby, like you know, like a
that
year
baby's,
old,
that
like
baby's
a year
gonna
old.
Be immune to disease
that
for the rest
is
like
of
like a year
so
old kid.
Jay, the dog's mouths are cleanest thing on earth.
The baby being 6 weeks, that's one thing, but if your kid is like a year old, like I don't care,
no, I don't like it.
What?
I don't care,
no.
No.
I just thought that was just so. I was thinking about it. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I'm not
no,
with it. No,
not
what are
at
you
all.
Talking about?
You know, when my kids want to pet dogs or cats, I take them to one of those, you know,
did you travel
stores
with
where you can pet the dogs and cats.
Do you travel with your little guys?
From time to time, yes.
Are they here with you?
No, they're at somebody's help. Somebody's watching them now, and then that person is taking them to the doggy hotel.
Oh, okay. But your kids never let your dogs never lick your kids in the face?
Wait, you travel with the dogs?
Ever?
Sometimes. Not all the time, sometimes. Well, whoa. When I go on vacation, they're coming.
What?
Because I'm going to be gone.
There you go. There you
we're
go.
Going to be gone.
Keep
for,
digging in it, Max.
We're going to be gone for a minute. So we have to, we can spend the money taking them with us, or we can spend the money taking them to the doggy hotel. And if you're taking them to the doggy hotel and spending the money, it's going to be
more
than
yeah,
it
wait,
more.
Is Max, it, Max, I mean,
is that
wait,
true?
I got to tell you this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've done this. They got so many upgrades at the doggy hotel. They're like, do you want 30 minutes of playtime? Do you want an hour of play? Do you want a day bed? Do you want – they have all
like
these –
like their hotel room was expensive for this time around. I could have might as well – I should have just brought them with me.
Go get the house watcher to come by, take them on a walk a couple times and throw some food
no,
in the bowl.
No, it's what happens is they get lonely and they start to destroy
tearing
your
stuff
property.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
And my dogs are a trip though, right? This before – I know we got to move on. So everybody left before me to travel, and then I left to come here on Friday. So as I'm leaving, Jay, you know, my people that's there watching the house and whatnot, I got my
plural bag.
And I got my bag, and I got everything getting ready to go through the garage. One of them went eight. I mean.
Well, go ahead.
Well, we're going to dump that part.
One of them went crazy. Let's put it this way. Because he saw me taking the bag. And, like, he went nuts.
Freaking out.
Right.
And I was like, you know, in his face, you could see the eyes, the whole deal.
Yeah.
No, I can't do it that
soft,
way.
The soft, dobby eyes.
Yes, I said it. They dumped it. Let's move on.
He said ape. I said, uh-oh.
They did, though. Man, he went crazy.
Max can't even relate. No dog history here.
Well, no, I have a little, like, you know, I've had, let's put it this way. I've not owned a dog. My brother had a dog briefly that had to wind up going to a friend of his because my father was like, "Eh, we ain't
have
no
fish?
Dogs."
You're a fish guy?
We had cats. We had a couple of cats.
I'm not a cat guy.
No, I'm not.
I like cats. I like dogs.
I can't do it, and I can't do cats.
We don't really fool with cats.
I can't.
Yeah.
I
as a people. Yeah. Yeah. It's just not our
deal. Sneaky. Yeah.
Very
not
untrustworthy.
Yes, yeah. Very, yeah, cats are untrustworthy.
Low maintenance, though.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Nah.
Nope.
I had a fish. I did have a fish.
There you go. That's all you need in life, man.
I had a lot of fish.
Had a couple of snakes when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah,
what
gardener snakes. I used to like to watch them eat the goldfish. And also shed the skin. You ever see a snake shed its skin, opens its mouth, crawls out of its own mouth?
No, I did. I had a lot of fish, Jay, when I played football.
You did?
Man, you know, back in the 90s, that was it.
You had the, the aquarium.
The whole wall.
The piranhas and this.
That's
this
it. You got
is from.
Can I get that money? Can I get that $150K back, please?
If you got rich, you had to have an aquarium, right? Because in every movie, every rich guy had some wild aquarium.
I'd like to get that $150K back.
Yeah, I've seen it too. They're like, oh, what kind of fish is that? I don't know. You know, it's this fish from the.
I don't know how much it was.
But it's an African cichlid, so you know.
Oh, what kind of fish is that? You know, it's from Africa.
You have a deep relationship with a fish.
It was just cool, man. To have a wall full of water.
Yeah, yeah right. Yeah, yeah.
A wall
yeah.
full of water.
Got so much money, don't even know what to do with it. Maybe I'll have a water wall.
It's like, hey, I went over Max's house. He got a fish tank. Man, I'm going to get one, too.
I'm going to make mine at least five times the size.
That's what happened. I went to Brian Shaw's house in Northern California, went to B. Shaw house, and B. Shaw had a whole, I'm talking about the whole hallway, full of fish all over the wall. I was like, man, I'm going to get me one of those.
Keeping up with the Joneses, man.
Yeah,
man.
More than anything.
People
experience their own lives so much more relative to other people than in absolute terms.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
When you're a young athlete, though, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. I don't know, but I can imagine. All right. Cameron Maben joins us in 3.5 minutes to talk about the red hot Yankees. But game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Coverage on ABC and ESPN Radio. You will hear this from Steve Kerr, comparing Steph Curry's value to Tim Duncan on the pregame show.
You have dinner with Greg Popovich, and the first thing he does at every dinner is he says, here's to Tim Duncan, right? He says a toast to Tim Duncan, because Pop knew everything was based on Timmy's character and his talent. And I do the same thing now. I literally, you know, pour the wine with my family. I say, here's to Steph Curry, because, you know, he allows everything to happen.
I mean, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, right, to a certain degree. It's there are certain players that their character, it trickles down into everything that your organization stands for. And, you know, when you have a guy like Stephen Curry on your team, it's like, hey, Kevin Durant, you know, you don't want to be here anymore. We understand. Okay. Like, this is who we are. This is the culture that we built. It is fascinating how that equates into no drama and winning championships around those certain type of players.
Yeah, and I've always appreciated coaches that recognize why they're in the position that they're in with players and their families and whatnot. Bill Parcells, and I like to go to him all the time, Max. I remember him always saying, though, he wouldn't be in the position that he was in if it wasn't for guys like Curtis Martin, myself, Lawrence Taylor, Carson, those guys. He just wouldn't be Bill Parcells. And when you recognize that, player appreciates that, opposed to it's about me and my X's and O's. I'm the guy. I'm the reason that we're here, you know. And
never get on the field. Yeah.
Some coaches are that way, where they ain't never, ever, ever touched the field before.
Right, and it's all about them. But if the ego is solid enough, they don't need to take credit that's not theirs. They know. I mean, it's obvious. Like, you got the horses, you can win. Meantime, I was once on a flight with Brent Barry, guys. Before the flight takes off, I see he's reading a book. And I'm like, is it any good? He's like, yeah, it's really good, called The Captain Class. So I download it on my phone, and I read it during the flight. It was really good. The Captain Class, it's called, about how every dynasty, the coach has a player on the field of play who's an extension of himself. So Tom Brady is an extension of Bill Belichick, Derek Jeter for Joe Torre, Tim Duncan for Greg Popovich, Steph Curry for Steve Kerr, right? Like, you need that guy who's an extension of the coach, the captain of the team, if you're not just trying to win a championship but trying to be a dynasty, which the Warriors are.
And then, Max, what happens is if your best player is buying into what the coach is selling, then you can look at everybody else on that roster and be like, yo, best player bought into it. What are y'all doing?
Mm. Let me ask you this.
What are y'all doing?
Jay, do you think that's a little bit of what the Nets' problem is, that they don't have somebody that's an extension of the coach that's on the floor?
I think that's part of it with Brooklyn a little bit. I mean, look, I think Ben Simmons can be that. I honestly think we could be talking about all those problems going away if you win championships. But I don't – are we talking about Brooklyn as a dynasty? Because
I
think
I mean just
that
a
dynasty
good, I'm
word
about just
is different.
I'm just talking about a good team, and the only reason why I even bring up Brooklyn because we're sitting here in New York, a good team that has a coach on the floor. When you go around the league and you look at a lot of teams that are good and making runs and pushing, they always had an extension of a coach on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also think that extension has just been like, you know, for me, when I hear extension, I think of a PG, right? Like a point guard, somebody can control the game, think like a coach. But in all these examples, that extension is the best player. Kevin Durant's basketball IQ is off the damn charts, mm-hmm. man.
Bill Russell was that guy for the Celtics originally.
You ever sit there and just center, like have one with KD and just relax and like and watch a game? He'll start breaking stuff down. You'd be like, yo, this dude's
though, Jay, because he's at the top of the game.
But that's what I'm saying. I think he's the extension. He's the extension.
Okay.
Now, if you feel like his impact on the game is the same as I think it is, right? But it's
a lot of it's just health with those guys. They got to stay healthy and be available and at least get into 60, 65 games a year, and let's see what happens with Ben Simmons.
A lot of it also, Max, is personnel. Like, what is the surrounding pieces that lead, you know, like Golden State has the right personnel as well.
They certainly got the right personnel.
Should Steph Curry be the MVP if the Warriors lose the series, but he continues to play this way? 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Right now, he's on a pace to hit 66 home runs a season, become the first hitter in more than 20 years to hit 60 home runs.
Here we go.
Driven deep to right field. There it goes. He's done it again. The amazing Matt Carpenter. A two-run shot. It's 12-3 Yankees.
Another year of Gerrit Cole. Severino's back. Tyon. You're talking about a staff that now has a chip on its shoulder. And doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon.
You heard the call on Yes Network as the Yankees just rolled. I think they're, 733 winning percentage right now? I don't know if anyone's over 700 in the major leagues other than them. They just are a juggernaut. Yes Network analyst Cameron Maybin is with us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Morning, Cam.
What's up, Max? What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's happening?
What up, Cam?
I'm doing great. I'm a Yankees fan. So Aaron Judge has 24 home runs through 60 games, Cam. That's the third in Yankees history behind Mickey Mantle in 56. He won the Triple Crown. And Babe Ruth in 1928. That's the year after he hit 60 home runs. So to me, I think he'll win the MVP if this keeps up. Of course, the most important thing is the Yankees win the World Series. But he has a chance to hit 62 home runs. And a lot of people like me are like McGuire, Sosa, Bonds. Stop. You're never sniffing those home run records without help. A lot of people are going to think that's the home run record. How do you feel about Aaron Judge and if he does wind up pursuing 60-plus home runs?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I feel right now is I feel like the big fella is about to make a lot of paper right now, Max. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, there's a lot of talk about him passing up that deal earlier this year. But, you know, a guy, you know, coming up on age 30, betting on himself, you know, coming out in the pinstripes, being able to do what he's doing right now. You know, we're talking about a guy 6'7", you know, moving over to center field, playing a hell of a center field right now as well. I mean, he's the best center fielder on this Yankees roster. Like you said, you're seeing what he's doing, you know, swinging the bat. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, he was like, you know, strictly, you know, right field. Now you see him, you know, turning the field, using left field, foul pole. I mean, it's really incredible, really impressive what this guy's doing, you know, going into a free agent year and then, you know, being the absolute catalyst, you know, for this ball club, you know, watching them do what they do it's been impressive and it's been special to see a guy like this, you know, handling his business like he is.
Cam, how hard do you think it was for him to pass on that initial offer from the Yankees?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for me, you know, this is me speaking, you know, Key. I thought it was a pretty difficult I'm sure it was difficult for AJ. You know, when you think about it, Key, you know, he was going to make 21 in arbitration this year. So you added 21 to the deal that he was offered. You know, that makes that deal about $230 million. So you're talking about a guy about to turn 30 years old, turning down, you know, essentially a $230 million deal, you know, I can only imagine how tough that is. But when you see what he's doing, when you think about, you know, going back to people saying, you know, he was injury prone. Well, his injuries were injuries that, you know, if you're a medical staff, you can deal with. They were impact injuries, you know, hit by a pitch, things of that nature. So when you talk about a guy actually being healthy, he's actually been pretty healthy if you really think about it and look at the longevity of it. So to be able to turn that deal down at 30, it had to be difficult. But, I mean, how impressive is it to see what he's doing, man? This guy, he's a late bloomer essentially. So, you know, I think he's playing younger than he really looks on paper. So it's fun to watch what this dude is doing. But it had to be difficult, man. That's a lot of money to turn down going into that, you know, at your age 30 season.
Yeah, Cameron Maben, Yes Network, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. When you've been around him enough to know his personality. I've never been around him, only met him once. When you're out there playing and you're out in the field or you're up at bat, how difficult is it, though, to put all the contract stuff behind you and just focus in on the now?
You know, not only is it difficult, Key, it's difficult when you're wearing those pinstripes, my brother. When I tell people all the time, they ask me, you know, how is it playing for the Yankees? And I tell them, you know, same material as every other uniform, but for some reason, those pinstripes weigh a little heavier. So to see what he's doing, you know, not only, you know, going towards a free agent year, you know, doing it playing for the Yankees, you know, when it's win or bust right now, and you look up and, you know, these guys are first in hitting, first in pitching, you know, second in baseball and fielder percentage. You know, it's extremely impressive, but it starts with him, man. This guy is a leader. You know, I talk about all the time. And Key and Jay, you guys know the best player in the locker room isn't always the leader. You know, they might lead by example with their play, but, you know, who's going to be the guy to galvanize the troops, to bring them together when times are rough, when things aren't going that great? Who's going to, you know, shut the doors, send the media out and say, yo, guys, what are we doing? We got to put this together because, you know, we're better than this. So, you know, there's no stat for character. There's no stat for leadership. And that's one thing that, you know, that's an intangible that he has. And it's genuine. Guys follow this guy. Guys want to, you know, hear what he's got to say. Guys are watching him at all times, how he's preparing. So, you know, that's for me, you know, that's where, you know, and I'm jumping ahead. You know, I would hate to see the Yankees let this guy go because the way he leads, there's no stat for that.
Cam, you can't let him go. You can't let him go. I am curious, though, as we get closer to the trade deadline, what's the biggest move that the Yanks need to make?
Man, that's a great question. I sat here all night, man. I was trying to play chess, trying to think a move ahead, figure out what kind of questions you guys are going to shoot at me. And I'm sitting here thinking the same thing, Jay, last night. I'm sitting here in my room, and I'm going, there's no way the Yankees can let this guy get away, you know. And when you think about moves, I think about in the perfect world, you know, people panicking. They saying, you know, get rid of Aaron Hicks. And you know, when you have the luxury of winning, you know, you don't always have to be so quick to make, you know, changes, you know, because I always talk about chemistry. You never want to mess up chemistry in the clubhouse. But personally, now this is just me thinking, you know, I'm thinking about a perfect lineup. I'm thinking about how these guys are banging. You know, I would love to see him go get a Wilson Contreras. I know Jose Trevino is swinging the bat well. He's hitting at a 309 clip, 5 homers. You know, he's doing his thing. But I would love for them to go get a Contreras, or, you know, maybe one more starter, you know, Castillo, somebody who can, you know, add a little bit of depth to the rotation. They've got a lot of depth in the bullpen. They got guys on the farm level who can come up right now, 98, 99, get outs. But I think, you know, one more starting in the rotation would be great length and depth for those guys for sure.
Always in this day and age, you need rotation depth. But they're starting five, talking to Cameron Maben, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Yes Network analyst. They're starting five. I mean, their rotation – you have a legit ace in Cole, even if he struggled recently. Severino was an ace before Cole got there. And then the 3, 4, 5 guys, Cortez is one of the best pitchers in the league this year. Montgomery's always been good when he's healthy. And Taillon's a solid number 3, or maybe even better, so they can pitch it. I want to get back to Judge for a second, though. I'm looking at him. In the 3 seasons, he's really played most of a full season. He's been top 5 MVP, right? It was his rookie year. And then last year, and then so far this year. He's a top 5 MVP player, top 5 player in the league when he's healthy, and maybe even a little better than that. Where do you think he ranks in today's game? We've been talking a lot about he's actually the face of the league. Trout's been in one playoffs and didn't hit very well. Given the association with the home run, the Yankees, the fact that he stays in the playoffs, he's a clutch hitter, he's a five-tool player. Where is he? Is he the number one star in baseball? Is he the face of baseball right now?
Damn, Max, you put me on the spot, man. You know, you know I call these games with Yankees now, so I can't be biased. But listen, you know, when you look at what AJ's doing right now, and again, Max, I talk about, you know, this guy's playing center field at an elite level right now. I mean, the way this guy's covering ground with his size, it almost looks effortless out there. And he loves playing center. He wants to be a center fielder, which is crazy to hear as well. It just lets you know how athletic he is. You know, for me, I know people are freaking out. They're watching Mike Trout struggle a little bit, but he's human, you know, like anybody else. I think bad baseball is contagious. So I think what Mike Trout was going through is a part of it. You know, when you're playing bad baseball, it rubs off on a lot of people at times. I think Mike Trout still is the best player in our game. I'm just going to be honest. I think what he is able to do, I think what he's done, his track record is incredible.
But is he the face of the game, Cam? Real quick, like I agree. Mike Trout, until proven otherwise, he's the best player in baseball. But is he the face of the game? He plays in Anaheim, not for the Dodgers. He plays for the Angels.
You know
he's never
what?
In the playoffs.
If I'm going to be biased, Max, people ask me who I want to be right now. I tell them right now, Aaron Judge, without a doubt. So I'm going to say right now, with that smile, that charisma, his personality, he's a mountain of a man.
Tape measure.
I'm going to be biased and give it to AJ. I think right now he is the face of baseball. I think he's much must-see TV. When the Yankees are on, people are tuning in, even if you don't like the Yankees, because you want to see what he's going to do. So right now, Max, I'm going to rock with you and say my man is the face of baseball.
Yeah, you're not biased. I said that a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I get it, Mike Trout, in terms of historic baseball and people look at all that sort of stuff. I'm like, man, I wouldn't know Mike Trout if he was standing next to me in a gas station. This dude? Oh, I know who
Aaron
Judge
saying?
Is. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly, Key. I'm with you, bro. I'm all right, cool. Look, Key, you know, I'm learning how to be a little bit subjective. This is new, bro. So I'm with you. He's the best guy right now, the face of the game. I feel you.
All right.
Cameron Maben, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning, Cam.
All right,
appreciate
Cam.
It.
Anytime. All right, y'all. Y'all take it easy. Keep doing it.
All right, buddy.
See, if I'm Cameron Maben, I'm there going, I don't know about – I mean, the Yankees have been fine, but I show up as a broadcaster, and they can't lose a game. Why one NBA team might be looking at a certain player in the NBA Finals as their future. That's the NBA Finals.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Young Zion Williamson. Do you see that player could be on a... Why do you not understand the question when asked about Zion?
Okay, now I understand.
Okay, so is it yes or no?
I haven't seen enough of him yet.
I think it's not a big decision. It's a pretty easy decision. The kid's historically good when he plays. This is a max player. That's easy.
I think the Pelicans don't have a choice but to offer him the max extension.
Ooh. Oh, Yates hit me in the feels with this one. Mm. All the way. I don't do nothing. I'm a ball. Oh, all the emotions in it.
I'm a ball.
Counting all day like the clock on the wall. All right, listen. Zion Williamson.
Sorry, I was doing. I had to cough.
Zion Williamson. says he wants to be in New Orleans, guys. And David Griffin was asked about, that's Pelicans VP, was asked about, is he a max player or not, right? And he goes, well the headlines all told you, yeah, David Griffin said he's definitely a no-brainer max player. But Brian Windhorst was on this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN, and he told me on Friday, well, that's what the headlines are. But when you really listen to what David Griffin said, he proposed essentially a max contract that's not fully guaranteed because Zion gets hurt so much. That's not a max player. That, you know, in the NBA.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess
up. No, please. Please do.
Is Joel Embiid a max player?
Did he have a fully guaranteed contract?
No.
Then the answer is he did not get a max contract.
It was the same kind of deal that they were talking about orchestrating about minutes played.
Right. Okay.
Like you got to hit a certain target number of minutes played before you're allowed to get exponent like that type of money.
Yeah, right. What they're saying is your level of play when you're on the court is max contract,
yes,
but you're not on the court enough, right? But in the NBA, if you hear the contract's not fully guaranteed, you're like, wait a minute, this ain't the NFL. What's going on?
Well, no, they're protecting themselves, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's smart to do as an organization.
But don't we always say the best ability is availability? So here's my question, guys. Can you, and I asked to Patrick Beverly and Pat, that Bev's answer eventually was like, I have not seen enough of him yet to be able to answer that question. We all know when he's on the floor, we're saying he's the he's a max contract level player. But given everything.
We're talking rookie, let's just make sure.
Rookie extension max. Yeah.
Okay. Rookie extension max.
Right.
It's different than saying a max player.
Right. Different than saying you got the super max extension off, you know, when you're not a rookie anymore. But it's the most money you could give him.
Yes.
Can you give that money to Zion Williamson? And now he's your best player. You win a championship, or can you give it to him at all? Because remember, the Pelicans are not the Warriors. They don't pay luxury tax. They're more fiscally conservative. They're cheaper with their fans. And looking at what else they have, the Warriors can give max contract and just you can grandfather in contracts that are already on your own team. But if you hit the cap, you can't sign new guys. Can you give, if you're the Pelicans, Zion Williamson the rookie max extension and win a championship, Jay?
Eventually, yes, I think you can. I mean, those are two different questions. Number one, first question, can you give Zion a max contract? Yes, a max rookie extension. He is box office. Like, or as I said a month ago, block office, right? Like he is
box
that.
Buster.
Yes, and box buster. He is that. Like, he is, the numbers speak for itself. Dude, I was like 27 and what, 12? Over 50% from the field. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. And this team did just go to the playoffs. So you have the addition of C.J. McCollum with Brandon Ingram, who I said, we've had this conversation, Max, about I think he can be a 1A or 1B guy. I think he proved that during this playoff run. So as this team continues to mature and grow together, why would you want to disrupt that core? Like, when's the last time you had a legit core like that in New Orleans when they had Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis? Way back in the day when they made it to the Western Conference Finals, like that was ages ago. You keep this young core intact. It's not even a question.
Yeah, you pay him. You give him the rookie extension because what little bit of work that he has done, I guess, warrants the rookie extension. But the other side of the equation, can you win a championship with him? I think you can. It's like anything. Yeah. Can you win a championship with Baker Mayfield? Yes. You can win a championship. Oh. You can win a championship with Zion. But is Zion the main piece to that championship?
Are you groaning because the Baker Mayfield comparison?
Yeah, just because the
former
Baker
number one
Mayfield,
overall picks.
Just the Baker Mayfield's name in the same breath as Zion. I can't do it.
Now you're acting like Max.
No. I get it. I get where you're going with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can win. You can. He won't be the reason you want it.
But I don't look
but
at.
He could be the quarterback of
but
a
you're
team.
But you're saying he's a bigger impact player than Baker. You know, more value above
what?
Replacement.
More impactful to the game than Baker Mayfield.
The reason I brought up Baker is because we've always had that conversation. Can you win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield? So I just used him.
Yeah.
Can you win with Jimmy G? Is that better for you?
No, I know what you meant. It's just, I know what you meant, but other people would take that.
I don't care what.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like, key comparison, Baker Mayfield to Zion.
That's good. My name will be in headlines.
Zion has a chance to be a top-tier talent in the league.
Like, well, he is a top-tier talent,
I don't think we ever looked at Baker Mayfield and like, oh, he's going to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks
Baker Mayfield
in the league,
is much easier to replace.
Top 10 player in the NBA.
But to win a championship, can you win a championship with a Baker? Can you win a championship with a Zion.
Here's the big
is Zion, can you win a championship with Zion as your number one ace in the whole guy?
Well, it depends on how – because, like, he's not a – he's a guy that gets the ball, pushes it in transition. But for the most part, if you surround him with the right kind
of – Can you win a championship with LeBron James as your main guy?
Yeah.
See how fast you answered that?
I did the same thing to Pat Bev. I said, when you saw a young Kobe Bryant, when you saw a young Kobe Bryant, what do you think? He's like, yes.
Yes, that's right, just
can
like –
Can you win a championship with Luka? Can you win a championship with John Morant?
Yes.
See, it takes you a second, but it's okay.
No.
Because my thing with Zion, it all depends. It's like Giannis.
It
all depends on who you surround them with, though.
I just thought of a great game. We should time how long it takes you to say yes or no. Because when you say LeBron or Kobe, you say yes right away. When
you say you've seen it.
When you say Luka or Ja, there's a little more pause. You say yes. When you hear Zion, you pause a little more, right?
Because what I was going to say with them is yes, but. They can be the 1A's, but they got to have a 1A plus with them.
A guy just as good as them.
They got to have a guy just as good as them. I don't think that, in my eyes, a little bit of basketball, I think I do know. I don't know that you could win one with Zion in a 1A plus. I don't think you can.
But Key, this dude, man.
I understand his stat sheet. I get it.
He's a gifted passer. Crazy passer.
It just look different, though, man.
It does look different, but that's
different to me.
Even if you had him, you know, he played like the point, right? Even if you had him push the ball down the court, I don't think that's the most optimal position to have him at. But you're telling me he's involved in a pick and roll with CJ McCollum, with guys like Brandon Ingram on the wing and some of the pieces they have. It is right there for the Pelicans.
But guys built like Zion, the greatest ever was Charles Barkley. And you're somewhere on the spectrum, Charles Barkley, Blake Griffin, Larry Johnson, like before the injury. But the issue to me seems to be is that they don't have as much wiggle in their game as the guards and small forwards.
Zion doesn't have wiggle in his game?
I'm not saying he doesn't have wiggle. I'm saying not as much.
He has more.
You think he has more wiggle in his game than the elite scoring forwards and guards?
I think his wiggle is the most elite in the NBA.
Oh, I think we're going to have to talk about that at some point. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. What should we expect from Draymond Green, speaking of compact forwards, after he was benched for a large part of Game 4?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Jay, Key, you see the AD thing? Hanging out with Nuke Squad. It's a gaming YouTube channel. I'm reading words now. I'm not sure what all these mean, Key, but Jay will tell me. So AD revealed he hasn't shot a basketball in over 2 months since maybe April 5th, probably like April 5th. What do you think of that, Jay?
I get it. Like his whole usual off season is 4 weeks rest after the season, 6 weeks strictly weightlifting, and then basketball stuff 6 weeks before training camp. I don't understand that, man. Like, I've never gone more than 3 days in my life without – this is me retired, touching the ball.
Me too.
Like, getting shots up, and especially as somebody who trains. So I guess the biggest question I have after hearing that, it's been 2 months since you haven't touched the rock. But if this is your usual off-season training, don't you want to have a non-usual off-season this off-season? Don't you want to do things differently? This offseason, if you haven't played the amount of games that the Lakers organization, Key, has expected you to play?
I mean, I'd like for him to get healthy, stay in shape. I would think that if he's healthy and he stayed in shape, he could shoot the basketball. He can pick up the basketball and shoot it any time because that's what he does for a living. I mean, you've been out the game 40 years and you pick up a basketball and you can still shoot, Jay. So I would think he could still do that. That wasn't his problem. His problem was staying healthy. His problem was never shooting. That's not his issue. His issue was health.
I'm going to ask you something. Real talk. You think AD, and I'm not saying AD fits in this category. I'm just going to tell you guys the honest truth about it. There are a lot of times in professional sports leagues, Key, I'm definitely sure this happened in the NFL, where I get in the locker room sometimes. I'm like, okay, he loves the game. He loves it. Oh, he loves the money for it. He loves the lifestyle that comes along. I'm not saying AD fits into this, but obsession is going to beat talent every time. I wonder if there's that same obsession there.
Obsession with talent is how you win championships, right?
Like, I wonder if there's that obsession there.
I think that's a legitimate. That's a legitimate question to ask when you see someone like AD was the best big in the game. Whether he's a forward or your center, he can defend the rim, he can score down, he can do all kinds of things.
That's not his problem.
But he was. But now he is no longer, when we say Embiid, we say Jokic, we say Giannis, when we talk about the big forward centers, AD is not in that conversation.
But he's never around, though, Max. That's the conversation. It's not
but
his
when
ability,
he is there's
he
some
hurt.
When he is there's people
no,
point
he balls
out
when he on the court.
It's not that he doesn't ball, that there's a certain fire that they see in some of the other guys I mentioned that they don't see in him. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, but he's hurt all the time, so maybe that's it.
Maybe they conflate that with the results and they're like
they want you to get on the floor with a broken leg. I get it.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Guys, you hear what Draymond Green had to say about being subbed out in the fourth? I mean, it was a do or die game. You go down 3-1, come on, you're going to lose the series. And Draymond was not getting it done on either end of the court, and he got sat in the fourth. Now, he did get brought back in.
Man,
that
dude
the end
got
of the
a
game.
Cup of water and sat down for a few drops.
But during that cup of water, the Golden State Warriors took over the game.
Yeah, but let's not. Look, I don't want to conflate it and make it sound like he do missed the whole fourth quarter.
No,
though,
he
Max.
Did not. He did not miss the whole fourth quarter. That is true. He
dude,
got brought back
minutes,
in late.
He was just taken out for a critical run. You know?
Yep.
And it happens. That's called coaching, scheming.
What did Dre have to say about it? Listen to this after the game.
Definitely never thrilled coming out of the game with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter in a must-win game. I'm not going to sit here and act like I was thrilled. I'm a competitor. But at the end of the day, if that's what coach decides, then you roll with it. And, you know, I had to keep my head in the game. And, you know, whenever I went back in, try to make some plays. And so that was just my mindset. You know, don't make too much of it. I've always been of the on the bandwagon of, you know, if you got something that's rolling, you stick with it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, though. And I'm, you know, yeah, you're going to be frustrated, as y'all know, Jay and Stout, when they take you out of game, no matter if it's the first quarter, the beginning of the game, the middle of the game, the end of the game, you're never trying to come out, no matter how bad you're playing at all. You're not trying to come out.
Amari Stoudemire, six-time NBA All-Star, with us now.
What up, baby?
Believe that.
Amari Key is pointing out, look, they brought Dre back in at the end. Steve Kerr did. And yet, to me, he was not getting it done on either end of the floor. It was a must-win game. Kerr took him out, and that's when the Warriors went on that run and took control of the game. What are your thoughts about all of that?
A smart move. I mean, Steve Kerr, he's a genius, man, when it comes to basketball, right? This guy's been around for a long time. Coaching, general manager. So he knows the game as a player, right? So, you know, Draymond Green in today's game, I don't see where – I mean, he's a facilitator, right? He's a playmaker at times. But if you can't shoot the ball, you're not bringing the offensive, you know, integrity to the game of basketball, especially in the finals. It's going to be hard to play down the stretch. I think Steve Kerr did a good job of making that adjustment and bringing him out. And he also went back in the game, you know, so it wasn't like a long wait, but I think it was a smart move by Steve Kerr.
Instead, I'm curious, 18 fouls for Draymond this series, 17 points. But, like, you know, look, you've seen this before a ton. Like, there's no doubt he's one of the best defenders in basketball, right? But I think one of his major strengths is always helping off the weak side, right? Like, he's a great safety, like seeing the court, reading plays, get up in coverage, helping things. But as a primary defender, when you start seeing him get targeted by guys like Jaylen Brown, like, does that make you worried about having him on the court? Because he does become a liability on both ends of the floor, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta keep in mind, man, guys going to attack him. You know, okay, you're a solid defender, but, you know, guys are not afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and if you can't defend guys on a regular basis, and we know he can't score, then what? Then what's the purpose of having him out there besides being the facilitator? And so it's a tough decision for a coach because he's an important player for your team, right?
Well, that's why you bring him back late, right? Because you want to make sure he knows, hey, you know,
but coach,
understand who you are.
Yeah.
Coach, we didn't have this problem with him in game two, though.
Right.
Right? Game two, he wasn't even having this conversation.
He's
right.
Active.
He was active. But you two games removed from game two, so now all of a sudden.
Game three, Key, they were picking on him. Jaylen Brown wanted him game three.
We feel like he, what? Like he's stale now?
No. It's just, you know.
No, mentally he's not in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, think about it.
So how we get him back there?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You're trying to antagonize every player on the court. You know, you're diving on guys' legs. Guys are possibly getting injured. Like, it's a lot happening right now with Draymond as far as his mental capacity toward the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Dennis Rodman played the game, he was always an elite. He was in the game.
Him and the game were fused together as one.
Right. The answers he had in the game, he still focused on the game of basketball and the outcome of the game. I think with Draymond right now, it's overtaking him.
He's getting too much wrapped up into it.
He's getting too wrapped up into it.
Yeah.
You know,
but isn't
and
that
it's affecting
because
his game.
Isn't that, it seems to me that that's the case, and I think it is the case, because he's unable to affect the game the way he normally does. They're picking on him on defense. Draymond Green, they're picking on him on defense. And offensively, he can't get anything going. So it's like he's going to this other thing because that's the only way he knows himself how to get himself juiced, right? It worked in game two. But otherwise, in this series, guy, what is he? Has he lost half a step? What's going on? I'm wondering what it is. Jaylen Brown's waving. Jaylen Brown's like, I want this guard.
But Coach just said.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Coach guards, just said he's getting wrapped up in it. When you get wrapped up in something because you focused in on that opposed to what you should be doing, and he used Dennis Rodman as a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman was weird as all outdoors doing. But he was always focused on the hoops.
Correct.
Not getting caught up in the fans. Not getting caught up in antagonizing the same player over and over and over. That's
and
the way
Max,
I
when
see
you
it.
Go with their small lineup, you got to think, like, he's the guy trying to defend the rim, but they also have him out on the perimeter playing a ton. You're asking him to do a lot. Now he can do it. Stat was able to do it. Still a lot, though.
It's just weird to me, Stat, that it was in 16, he was about to be finals MVP. He had 37 points. I was at that game. Like, he's capable of scoring under pressure in the biggest stage.
Yeah.
But that's just somehow completely
gone.
Gone right
game,
now.
Man.
Like, in this series,
gotta
it's just, it's
game,
strange.
You got to work on your game,
see, that's the key. That's the key. You got to improve as a player. You have to work on your game, right? Especially for Draymond. He's a guard. He's not like, let's say, Rodman, for example. He's not just a rebound all-the-time guy. He's a well-versatile player. And if you're not working on your game and getting better at these different elements of the game, then now
– league catches up.
Yeah, it catches up with you, and now you've been exposed. But I still think Draymond has a lot left in the tank. I'm not saying it's over and wrap him up, but he needs to work on his game.
Stat, real quick, speaking of working on your game, Anthony Davis made some comments that he hasn't touched the ball since April 5th when the season ended. And it talked a little bit about his workout regimen, that he's doing his usual off-season workout regimen where he doesn't touch the ball until 6 weeks before training camp starts.
I don't like the way that sounds.
See?
What usual? What do you mean usual?
Thank you.
You need to do more than usual.
Yes.
Because you want to win a championship. The Lakers are the franchise you want to stick with. You want to win a championship. You got to go outside of your normal workout routine. You was injured all year. You know what I'm saying? You got to do a lot more than what you've been used to doing.
That's why I listen to him.
Do you think he loves the game?
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he does. Because if you do, you would definitely be doing something outside of your usual workout regimen.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, man.
The Hoopers all saying the same thing.
Yeah, we all saying the same thing.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
And Max.
Amari Stoudemire here on ESPN Radio. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem, guys.
Much more in the NBA Finals coming up.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.